shed.
Hello and welcome to day 7 of the Cosmic Shed Advent Calendar. It's really cold, it's really rainy. Let's just open the door.
Hello, my name's Andrew Spooner and I am a technologist.
And what is a technologist?
Well, I suppose in my situation, it's someone who thrives on making and using technology to make better things. Anytime you look across the world and you see something that you think is broken or something that could be automated or it could be improved through the intelligent use of hardware or software, then I like to think, how can we fix that? How can we make that better?
Do you do that for yourself?
I play around and make my own little things every now and then. But I work at Microsoft. I run a software engineering team there.
Okay.
And in the past at Microsoft, I have worked as a technical evangelist, which was to take the latest and greatest hardware and software from Microsoft and often before it was released, break it down, see how it works, and then take it to people and say, hey, I've got an interesting thing here.
Yeah.
Could you do something interesting with it?
Okay. So, 'cause I came to your house once, right?
Yes.
And I stood there and you put something on me. and then in the middle of your kitchen diner, the galaxy appeared in front of me and I could manipulate it, walk through it.
Mm. So that's the Microsoft HoloLens. So that's right. a wearable computer. So you place a computer on your head. It has a set of lenses in front of it, which are in front of your eyes, and then it projects holograms onto those lenses so that your brain thinks that those holograms are placed in the real world.
Hmm.
So it's got a ton of sensors on it, so it maps the room and it knows to millimeter precision where the walls and the floor, and it can even interpret that that's a table. I'll put something on the table. And so you can put something on the table, walk out of the room, come back in the room, and it's still there. But it's not really there. It's just a projection in space.
Right. So your job was to kind of take something like that, take it apart, see how it worked, and then go and tell people how amazing it was.
Yeah, and find people who wanted to use it. Whenever you're making a product, and whenever you're making anything, if it's a cake or a podcast or a piece of future science fiction, wearable computing, you have some ideas in your head about how people will use it. But ultimately what happens is once you release it to the world, people will say, well, you thought we were going to use it for X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to use it for 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, yeah. When I was using that, right, I could imagine me sitting in my shed with that on my head, with the galaxy in front of me, and just living forever in pretending I was floating in space outside our galaxy. But I don't know what else you would use it for.
That's good
enough in its own right, yeah? I mean, sitting in your shed pretending you're outside the galaxy is pretty much my dream. But...
Right. I mean, it is. I mean, the great thing about that as well is just the clarity and the quality of what you're seeing is just incredible. And the way it's fixed in space.
Mm.
So if you put a dancing action man on the table, he's properly mounted on the table. And it just looks so real.
Mm.
But as far as its actual use cases... There's a ton of people using it in sort of commercial situations. So where, let's say, you're a lift engineer and you want to fix... You've got to be sensor to see a lift that's broken. And this lift, there's hundreds of different models and you don't know exactly what's broken on it. You put the headset on, it will then highlight the things to open and then means you've got your hands free and then it's kind of like augmented reality in that respect. So it will then project instructions into... the environment that you're in so that you don't necessarily have to hold all the documentation, you don't necessarily have to be knowledgeable on that particular piece of kit, it will walk you through the steps to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that's quite expensive to build, but for big companies, they're saving millions because they're saving tons of man hours. They're not having to train people, they're not having to physically bring people to a lift to train them, they can be trained on site, wherever it is.
Mm.
So there's always commercial uses of technology which tend to fund the development of it for others.
Yeah.
There's some great examples of that HoloLens being used in sort of theatrical or creative environments. But that's not... They don't approach with a load of funding and a load of development time in order to build the complex applications. But actually, as they're being built and paid for and funded by big corporations, that actually makes it cheaper for other people to adopt it, because they put the hard work into saying, well, how do I recognise where a wall is, and how do I make something fall around behind a wall? So if, once that's solved by someone else, then everyone can reuse it.
Yeah. Okay, so what you see a lot of tech, right? What's the best bit of tech you've seen?
Recently, it's all invisible tech.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that knows you've walked into the room. It's the sensor that knows you've gone out of the house and turns the central heating down.
Yeah.
It's the ability to call my central heating and tell it to turn on when I know I'm an hour away from home after a long weekend away. So when I get into the house, it's toasty and I haven't wasted electricity. Those sort of efficiencies, they make me very happy because there's a lot of folly, as in sort of just frivolous, gratuitous use of technology just for fun's sake.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. We need that.
Yeah. But like sitting in your shed pretending you're outside the galaxy, that kind of thing.
Exactly. We get a lot of fun from those things. Yeah. And it inspires us then to do other things on top of them. I spend a lot of my time making sure that people are using things in the right way as well. Just because you've made something and it can do a particular job doesn't mean that you should use it for that.
Yeah. You don't think people should use technology to hack elections or something like that, then?
No. If it's well thought through, that shouldn't be possible. And right. There's trusted people involved, that shouldn't be possible. I think the problem is there's a lot of companies who maybe don't have a strong ethical or moral code that they share with their employees and that they abide by.
Hmm.
I think it's certainly in this day and age, that's something that everybody needs to have. You need to ask yourself, am I doing this for the right reason? What is the impact on humans if I use this particular piece of technology? What's the impact on the planet if I use this particular piece of technology?
Hmm.
I saw a Bluetooth connected grill the other day that could say you put all your ingredients in it and then you sent it instructions from your smartphone and it would tell you when it's done. It's like, no one needs that.
No.
My mum's Magimix that's, I don't know, 60 years old, that's still going. It's mechanical, it's always going to work.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. That Bluetooth grill, 2 years time, landfill.
Yeah.
I mean, we as technologists need to take responsibility for the things that we create, and we need to be just cleverer and more sensible about this. And as consumers, we've got to be more thoughtful about what we buy, especially at this time of year. There's people saying, oh yeah, I need a Bluetooth connected Santa hat that when I press a button on my phone plays different Christmas jingles. I mean, I say these things, and this is one of the things with science fiction is whenever you put an idea out there, someone goes, oh
yeah,
oh that's a good idea. I could make that. And someone goes and makes it, so you've got to be careful about the things you make up.
Once in a role that I had many years ago, I had to go around hotels trying to sell them Bluetooth when it was a new technology as something to go in their lobbies so that they could send information to everybody's phones when they arrived at the hotel. And I thought it was a fundamentally stupid idea that was never going to work and never going to happen. So I was the worst person in the world to send out to the hotels, because I did a presentation to them. I said, well, this is what it can do. The truth of it is the technology isn't quite right at the moment, so it probably won't do that most of the time, and nobody's got their Bluetooth turned on their phone anyway, so you won't get that information to them. Has that changed now?
The problem there is that the technology will work if everybody knows that it's there and knows how to use it.
Yeah.
And with anything new, there's an element of education that you have to bestow upon people. So things like voice control. We know we can speak to some things these days, but you've got to use phrases in the right way. You've got to use the right keywords or structure sentences in the right way. But there's no rule book for this to say this is how you should talk to it, which sometimes puts people off. Chatbots on the internet, so instead of having to go through to call centres, you can type questions to them. And if they're badly designed or badly thought through, then it's hard for someone to know what questions they should ask. You need to kind of lead people. You can't just say, I've made this invisible piece of technology, watch people use it, because they won't know it's there. And when they do discover it's there, from experience, the first thing they're going to do is try and bully it or break it.
Yeah.
They try and find it. It's like a game. So let's try and find the boundaries of the rules here and see how far I can push this.
Is that what you were doing before you became this? As a teenager, were you sitting in your house trying to hack into stuff?
Not necessarily hack into stuff, definitely taking things apart, definitely exploring the boundaries of what's possible.
Yeah.
using things for their unintended purposes. I certainly did my fair share of trolling, of the trolling technology.
You can say
I was doing a lot of things which I've now deleted and turned off, which is still funny. I mean, it's social experiments with technology.
Go on, tell us something.
I'll tell you something. What was there? around about the outbreak of swine flu, I made a very official looking swine flu test website. And it said, so if you typed swine flu test into a search engine, it's come up first. Because it was an experiment into how can you game search engines, how can you make... And then it was about tracking people through a questionnaire and seeing what do you expect people to do? And then the reality, once you actually track with analytics what people are doing, it's very interesting. You learn a lot about human behaviour and about how people interact and behave with technology. Yeah. So it was questions like, oh, do you feel sick? Do you have a headache? Yes, no. Next question, do you feel clammy hands or something? So a load of made-up questions that sounded quite officious. Are you just feeling a little bit tired of work and want a few weeks off? And then it ended with a PDF you could download to give to your boss. That looked official to say, yeah, I've got swine flu, I need... Oh, question nine was actually, before the last question was, are you the dirty little that started this off in the first place? First place by leady pig. It's stuff like that. Then just social experience with technology. Yeah. Taking stuff apart. I think those kids who used to go into the McDonald's drive-thru and add things to people's orders because it was just the VHF technology they were using. So people go up and go, oh, can I have... I have a Big Mac, you know, and 12 fries. They'd read the order back, or people just turn and go, that's not what I ordered. You need to sit laughing, giggling from the opposite side of the drive-thru.
So, right, I, when I'm talking to people, I quite often try and guess what science fiction they like. I know that you like Black Mirror.
Mm.
But as a kid, I imagine you watching War Games.
Yes. I was more into... books as a kid because they were much more accessible. I mean, videos were high rated and it was actually quite hard to... You couldn't walk into a video shop and say, I want that 15 film. They go, no, you're 12.
Yeah.
So I think it was quite hard to get into science fiction from a film perspective. In the early days, I liked Star Trek, but then you realise, hang on, this is a bit too utopian.
What's wrong with Utopia? It's quite good, isn't it, Utopia? It's kind of...
It's too comfortable. It doesn't make people question... the impact of something. It's like corporate films promoting their technologies, and everyone's guilty of this. They picture this perfect world of, hey, you walk into your home and the thing's sent as you're there and the lights come on and everyone smiles and it's a nice jingly piano jingle plays at the end. Mm. Buy this thing.
Yeah.
So anything for advertising like that, or
yeah, but the conceit of Star Trek is that's it, that's what we're trying for, but still everything goes wrong, and then we return to Utopia at the end of the episode.
Mm. I prefer the Culture series, Ian Banks.
Okay, yeah.
So that's kind of utopian, but the cynical view that the Culture have upon all of the situations they come across and the other inhabitants and things that they come across, I like that slightly twisted view of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Maybe it's the cynic in me or the dark humour that I like.
Let's talk Black Mirror then.
Well, I think it started with there was an episode, I can't remember the names, I think it was 1 million credits, where they're on bicycles, they've got to cycle the bike in order to get a certain number of credits before they retire, and they're generating electricity. And then I thought, well, that's quite a novel idea, because you're earning something for the planet, you're giving something back. But it was more about you had to watch advertising. If you didn't watch the advertising, then you had to pay not to watch the advertising, and then it knew when you weren't looking. And I thought, and it was around about the time when the Kinect camera came out, and we were doing a lot of experimenting with that. And it was like, oh, actually, that's a very real situation that could happen, and I can see that now with the technology that's available to us. And in fact, me and a colleague of mine built something like that. I mean, it's quite simple these days to build something that does it. Are you actively looking at this screen? Are you engaged with the content you're looking at? Is a fairly simple thing for a computer to now understand.
Really?
Yes.
That's terrifying.
It is. But then that's why it comes into the ethics of, should you be doing that? And that's what I like about Black Mirror. It's like... Charlie Brooke has seen something, he's gone, here's a piece of technology, here's how it could be implemented, here's how it could go wrong if you don't police it, not police it, but if you don't have the right stops and checks in place. The government recently released a, AI and Ethics, the Shadow Select Committee, something, that said, if you're going to use data and machine learning, which people are calling artificial intelligence, if you're going to use those things, combine those things together, here's the things you should consider.
Yeah.
And it's not something that's enforced, but what it means is that in the absence of being able to enforce something, if you get all the companies to say, actually, that's the right thing to do, we will sign up to this. And we will make sure that anything that we make doesn't have any bias in there. That it complements humankind as opposed to replacing humankind. That it can't be used for bad, and that we've considered the impact on humanity in these. As long as you're asking those sort of questions, and everyone signed up to it, then it should all be okay.
Mm. It should.
It should. But then it's the same. You can say that with guns. Okay, let's put laws in place so they don't get put into the hands of the bad people. Okay, it does happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument that technology is more useful than guns.
Yes, I would hope that is a pretty short argument.
So, right, apart from Black Mirror...
I like anything by Neil Blomkamp. Elysium was quite Hollywood-y, but... Hey, once we can do this stuff and we can leave the planet, who gets to leave, and how do we? Again, it comes back to the impact of society and what does technology mean to humankind, and how do we make sure that it's fair?
Yeah,
I like the stuff he does, and Chappie was great as well.
Yeah, I really like Chappie. Yeah,
one thing I do love as well is, and I don't know whether people call this science fiction, but video games.
Okay, yeah.
So things like Halo.
Yeah,
it had a story mode, so a narrative, so you can go through there and you choose different options and you get given these fantastical made up weapons and you're placed in fantastical made up environments and with spaceships. Whenever I watch or read anything, I always think, how could I make that with technology I've got today? And usually you can, but I find sometimes with video games, because there's a much it's easier to make something up because you don't have to have a set, or you don't have to. You're less bounded by reality than you are necessarily in film. That you can create things that people don't question, yeah. Or maybe because it flies by so quickly, you don't get a chance to go, well, how did that bridge just appear out of thin air when I pressed that switch?
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, I suppose there could be some way of electrolyzing the particles in the air in order to maybe free something or create a bond around it that's between these two. But then someone's shooting you and you're off and you've forgotten about it again.
Yeah. Did you see and read Ready Player One?
I read Ready Player One. I was very excited about the film. I was pretty disappointed about the film. But then films are, it's like a translation. It's like when you say something in French and you translate it into English, you go, I have hunger.
Yeah.
So that's not the way we speak. It sounds a bit weird. There's always, j'ai faim, I have hunger.
Yeah.
If you have, so whenever you take something from a book and try and put it into screen, there's always going to be something that changes. And also you have to sometimes condense the story. But I did find the film was a different story.
Yeah.
The film was about the corporation, whereas the book was very much about video game culture.
Yeah.
And I think that was lost a little bit.
When I read the book, I spent most... because I knew they were making the film when I read it. I spent most of the time either having a shot of nostalgic joy to my brain for every other sentence, or going, they can't make this into a film. There's no way they can do this in film. This is never going to happen in the film. They won't get the licenses for this, and this is impossible. You can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think they made in the end was a very watchable film, which looked great.
Yes.
Was disappointing if you loved the book. But what film isn't disappointing when you loved the book?
Yeah.
In the Oasis, they have to become one of the people in a film, right? So you, like, become the guy from a scene in Back to the Future or something.
Oh, yes.
Is that a thing?
It wouldn't be a thing for me. Yeah. I don't like virtual reality. I don't like the locked awayness of it. I can see that it has uses. Teaching someone how to navigate a massive cruise ship when it's at sea, so when it lands in the port, you send them on to, let's say, clean the ship. They know exactly where to go and how to navigate it, as opposed to spending the first day just figuring out which deck they're on and stuff like that. Mm. So it's good in this. There's good things for it. But as far as sitting in my home with a headset on moving your head around the room aimlessly. I'd hate to walk into my front room and see my kids all sat there with headsets on.
Yeah.
Not really talking to each other, or yeah. talking to each other in a way they shouldn't. So,
like, if I go into your house, can I say to some artificial intelligence type thing somewhere, make it cosy, and all the lights will go to a particular hue? And
you could, yes. But I haven't built it in. I mean, stuff like that's all possible.
Yeah.
But it's still a little bit difficult. As in, it's quite time intensive to set it up.
But do you want that, you personally?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of turning technology off. I like to walk up a mountain
right.
and stare out and feel alive. I mean, and I'm quite... not strict with my kids, by the way. They've got to be doing other things with their hands and being creative and in entertaining themselves. And I mean, secretly, sometimes I joke that it would be quite nice for some sort of electromagnetic pulse bomb to hit the earth and all technology to be wiped out, because then it would be, right, so who can make fire? What useful skills do you have?
Yeah.
It's like your ability to make noise on social media is no longer required.
Yeah. It's kind of, because, you know, music, I think I can sit in my shed and listen to a particular piece of music and pretend that I'm floating outside the galaxy, right?
Yeah.
I guess I'd need, unless I had the musicians with me, I'd need technology in order to listen to the music as well, wouldn't I?
Oh, well, that's why the travelling minstrels used to be so important in society. They travel from tribe to tribe, singing the songs, but telling the tales. They were storytellers, and they had a great deal of respect for that.
Mm.
It's a skill we're losing, I find.
I'm going to have to mention the fact that you've brought a guitar with you.
Well, I like my music, and we've been talking previously about Black Mirror, and I thought this ties it together maybe quite nicely. There's a song on there that it's in that 1 million credits. It's the song that she performs, which I'd never heard before. Anyone who knows what love is. And then I was watching another episode later on. I went, hang on, that's that song. It was playing in the background or something. And then in one of the last series, someone's being interrogated, and the person doing the interrogation is walking around and he's just humming this song very subtly in the background. It's like, oh, that's this kind of like a little piece of music that's pulled from across various episodes of Black Mirror. So, oh, this the name girl. I went and found that song. And found, oh, that's a really beautiful song. You can blame me, try to shame me, but I'll still care for you. You can run around, try to put me down, but I'll still be there for you. The world may think I'm foolish, they just can't see you like I can. Oh, but anyone who knows what love is would understand. Anyone. I just feel so sorry for those who pity me, 'cause they just don't know. Oh, they just won't know what happiness love can be. I know I won't ever let you go. It's more than I ever could stand. Oh, but anyone who knows what love is would understand.
Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.